to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? Again, it is Chris. I'm going to be doing your NXT War Games review. And let me tell you something. This War Games was absolutely fantastic. I am being serious with you. This was an A-plus graded show. A-plus is tough to get. But every single match, and the one thing I love about NXT is when they do their takeover specials and they do their, pay-per-views. Every single match is what wrestling should be. Every single match is a match you want to see. It's an important match. They put it together well, and it is what wrestling should be. Not saying that WWE pay-per-views aren't, but you got 3.5, sometimes 4 hours on some of these wrestling pay-per-views, and NXT's not like that. You got 2.5 hours at most. Typically, they're 2-hour shows. But War Games is usually 2.5 because it lasts a little bit longer. Again, my name is Chris, guys. You can follow me on Twitter at TheCOPlaceToGo, on Twitch at TheCOPlaceToGo. The podcast that I'm doing this for is at The_WWE Podcast, available on Speaker, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Radio.com, and other venues as well. This is going to be the first one that I've done also live on Twitch. So you can catch me on there. Like I said, it's at the CO place to go. Any other time, I also stream video games randomly. Nothing special, but just something for me to do. So when I'm doing this review, if you're listening to it through one of the podcast sites or venues, and you hear me kind of break off, if I talk to somebody else or anything like that, if anybody tunes in, that's me talking to them. Like I said, it is live on Twitch. So normally what I do when I do these, for those of you who haven't seen on Twitch, let's say, normally I just go through what happened the week in WWE, what happened the previous NXT show, any birthdays, which you'll really like the one today, any birthdays. Now, normally I do this show late at night, so I work Wednesdays, I come home, I watch the NXT show live on USA, then I take some notes depending on the time I record right then. Sometimes I record in a couple hours. There's been times, a couple times when I had to work super early, couldn't get it done. I did it late on a Thursday night. This is the first time that I've actually done it at this time of morning. Want to get it through. It's a special case just because it is War Games. Normally I wouldn't be doing them on Sunday or Saturday night. I did watch War Games twice yesterday. I watched it once from, I'm West Coast, so I watched it once from 5 o'clock till about 7:30. Live. I put it back on again about 9:15, 9:30, watch it till about midnight. So this one's going to be a little different. A lot of times I sit there and I take notes and I just work with kind of some highlights of the matches just to kind of give you a heads up of what's going on. This one I actually took notes live and I took notes again when I rewatched it. This pay-per-view deserved to be watched twice, so I did. I wanted to get as much, so I mean, I pretty much have an essay going on this. So I'm basically going to read you what I have. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. It's going to be basically, if you're listening to this, like you watch the show, my suggestion, watch the show. It is that important. So this week in WWE, I'm not going to cover. I literally just did this the other day. The only thing that I know happened on Raw, you had on SmackDown, you had a mix with The Fiend and Daniel Bryan. It did set up a little bit more for the NXT invasion in relation to Survivor Series, but this is going to be all about NXT. When I'm done with the NXT review for War Games, I'm going to kind of give my predictions on some of the matches for Survivor Series, and then, let's go Survivor Series tonight. So the first thing today that we are going to discuss that we normally do is birthdays. So in terms of birthdays, you have Aaliyah, who's on NXT. Now, I have been exceptionally critical of Aaliyah, as everybody would know. I'm fully unimpressed by her. She's been in NXT now since 2016. She's been wrestling, I think, since like 2013, if I'm not mistaken. But she doesn't impress me at all. There's nothing about her skill set, if that's what you want to call it, that to me is exciting. There's nothing about her wrestling that is good. She botches moves all the time. It's just not... She is not what, in my mind, is a good wrestler, is a good, you know, old-school diva. I mean, she would probably be better like that. But, you know, she has a little bit more emphasis behind her now because she's got Vanessa Bourne with her. But other than that, there's literally zero quality in Aaliyah's matches. Typically, it's known for issues in the matches, botches. She did break her nose in the last match. She got kicked pretty stiff in the face, Xia Li, which I loved. I mean, that was my favorite part of the match, which sounds bad, and I do apologize, but that was actually the best part of that match. So, it's her birthday today. I believe she's 25, I believe. Other than that, I literally have nothing to say about her. Everybody else, every other birthday, even if it's someone in New Japan, and I don't focus a ton on New Japan, even if it's someone in New Japan, I tend to talk a little bit more about it, but with this one, I just got nothing. Let's get right into War Games. So, War Games only had four matches announced. The matches were the women's War Game match, which had Team Baszler versus Team Ripley. Team Baszler had Shayna Baszler, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, and Kaylee Ray, who's the NXT UK Women's Champion. Rhea Ripley's team had, obviously, Rhea Ripley, Tegan Nox, Mia Yim, and Candice LeRae. So as War Games comes on, during the pre-show, which I missed the pre-show, it was Angel Garza versus Isaiah Swerve Scott, which I'm actually kind of mad I missed that. I didn't re-watch it when I watched the pay-per-view. I felt if I'm not going to watch this twice like everything else, I didn't want to give any type of review on it. So I know Angel Garza got the win just from looking it up. I can imagine these guys did great. I can imagine that the, you know, just some of the high-flying moves and things like that in this match were fantastic, considering the two characters and guys who were in this. But other than that, I got nothing on the pre-show. I do apologize, but Isaiah Swerve Scott is one of my favorite wrestlers, too. It is something I'm going to watch, just not something I was going to review. So before that match, there was somebody backstage took out Mia Yim. So that being said, you have Rhea Ripley coming in to make a substitute for her team. Now, do you remember a few weeks ago, if you listen to the show consistently, a few weeks ago, I mentioned that Dakota Kai would find some way into this match. And I actually thought she was going to be the last member of Team Baszler. But Mia Yim got taken out. I think she was already hurt. I know she broke her nose. But it was one of those situations where it's like, you know, she probably could have wrestled, but this was a great angle, great storyline. You have Dakota Kai taking over Mia Yim's spot in that match, which is something we will get to later. So I named the people. The women's War Games match is first. So you've got, you know, obviously the entrances and things like that. So you have Io Shirai starting for Team Baszler, and you have Candice LeRae starting for Rhea Ripley's team. So, as this is going on, you know, everyone else is locked in a cage up by the you know, entrance ramp. So, as Io Shirai and Candice LeRae enter the cage, like I said, I'm just going to kind of read my essay on this show and kind of let you know what's going on. In this, you know, when they get in there, they start brawling. LeRae had a really nice head scissors takedown, but Io Shirai landed on her feet. There was some dueling chants in this. It was actually pretty good. There was a lot of dueling chants, a lot of Mamma Mia's in this night, and there was a big one towards the end of this match. But Candice, she countered some of Io Shirai's some moves, slammed Io Shirai in her face. LeRae went to leap to the other ring with a forearm, but Io Shirai decked her. Now, that's the thing about War Games that, to me, is a lot of fun. They have two separate rings. It adds for a lot of... I don't know. It adds for different effects. Now, the War Games matches use both rings, whereas the singles matches use singular rings. So, in your Finn Balor-Matt Riddle match, you have them using the ring closest to the entrance ramp. In the the triple threat match for the number one contendership, they used the ring farthest from the entrance, closest to the announcers. But in this match, they use both. Now, the way War Games works is you have two people enter, and then the team who has the advantage gets the next person in. So the next person in is on Team Baszler because they had the advantage. And then every 3 minutes, somebody else comes in until everybody's in the ring. And at that point, the match officially begins. So in reality, this match goes on for probably, let's see, what do you got? Five, so you got probably 12, 15, it's like 20 minutes before the match truly begins. 20 to 25 minutes for this match actually has started. And which is, you know, quite entertaining. So, you know, the match doesn't officially start, but the match is going on the whole time. So by the time, it's almost like a Royal Rumble. You've already been in the ring 30 minutes by the time the matches start, if you're the first two people. And then once that begins, you know, you're set up for a quick pin. So, and that's kind of what I thought was going on with Candice LeRae, because she was taking quite a lot of punishment. Shirai had a huge missile dropkick, and another dropkick in the corner. They went down on the plate between the two rings. Io Shirai hit her with a nice, like, double knee to the face in the corner. While they were in there, she was knocking her down, like, smashed her face down into the faceplate, or not the faceplate, but the steel plate between the two rings. Io Shirai then kind of threw her into the wall of the cage a few times. LeRae broke free, hit her with a nice jawbreaker that, to me, set up time-wise exactly probably, what, about 15, 20 seconds before Bianca Belair came out. Io Shirai did get Candice LeRae back once Belair came out. So Bianca Belair comes out. She was unloading on her, hit her with a nice standing shooting star press. Candice LeRae dropped her and went back to Shirai, who was down in the corner. So Io Shirai had a lot less offense done to her, but Candice LeRae stood tall in a lot of it. And there was a nice little when Io Shirai went to the corner and was like hitting him with a bunch of strikes, Belair fought out of that and hit her with two big power bombs. And then when she held for the third power bomb, LeRae held onto her by her hair. And as she went for the third power bomb, she kind of like, it was like a pause, and then she threw Candice LeRae into the wall of the cage, and that got a big NXT chant there. That was a big spot in the match, with Belair hitting a powerbomb into a cage wall. Pretty nice. At this point, you got probably about 30, 40 seconds until someone from Team Ripley comes out, and they pre-show the cage, and you show Ripley getting hyped up, so you know the team captain's coming out. Rhea Ripley's about to come out. There was a nice move that Io Shirai ran the ropes probably 10 times, probably, while Bianca Belair held Candice LeRae in a camel clutch. Eventually she hits her with a nice kick to the face. Fans went insane. Timer goes down. Here comes Ripley. Before Ripley got in the ring, she had probably three trash cans, three or four chairs, some kendo sticks. It was a lot of weapons thrown into the ring, which, you know, just about every single one of those was used for something. And there was no tables put in, so of course the fans booed. Chicago fans are some of the best wrestling fans, or best wrestling matches to go to with the fans, because they get all hyped up. But Ripley entered a booze for that, but you know, it's whatever. We don't need tables. Tables come later. The Ripley ducked Belair, launched her face first into a trash can. She stood all the chairs up, and it looked like she was going to try to go for a double suplex with Candice LeRae on Bianca Belair. Io Shirai made the save on that, and as she's beating down Candice LeRae, Bianca Belair started taking out Rhea Ripley. As the timer counts down, you got Kaylee Ray. Now Kaylee Ray comes out, and still relatively unknown to me, because she is NXT UK. So I have seen her in the Mae Young Classic, and I've seen her briefly, obviously, the last couple weeks, making saves and just showing up, but I don't really know a lot about Kaylee Ray. Kaylee Ray took some exceptional damage in this match, as we'll get to, but it was unbelievable, some of the things that were going on in this. So Kaylee Ray, she goes back to the ring looking for weapons. but comes up empty-handed. Now, I don't understand the reasoning for this, as Rhea Ripley kind of brought them all out. Maybe Ripley wasn't supposed to grab everything, but she did. So as she goes to pick up a chair, she hits Candice LeRae with it. Ray hit a big tornado DDT onto a chair to Rhea Ripley. Kaylee Ray knocked Ripley onto the chairs that were set up earlier. Candice LeRae stopped Belair from splashing Ripley onto the chairs. Of course, there's classic chaos in the corner, all women fighting now. Kaylee Ray unfolded all the chairs that were set up before that Rhea Ripley set up to kind of get suplexed through. And of course, the fans booed her for that because you were looking for a big dangerous spot on that. And obviously, nothing happened. The Kaylee Ray was working. Well, actually, Bianca Belair was going to get superplexed onto the chairs. Everyone goes to the corner. Ripley finally comes over and does the Tower of Doom, hits like the power bomb with the suplex. And everyone but Bianca Belair landed on the chairs. Bianca Belair come flying next, splashing everyone onto the chairs. I feel like out of that, with Rhea Ripley doing that to her teammates, the one she got the worst was probably Candice LeRae. Because it looked like her head was lowest and could have hit on there. Kaylee Ray was hurt. Io Shirai. It was one of those moves that you see a lot now. The last probably 10 years, this move has been going insane. Timer counts down at this point while everyone's dead in the ring. It's Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai comes out of her cage and stopped, turned around, and just like strike kicked Tegan Nox into the cage and unloads on her. Obviously there was a holy shit chant like there usually is. Shayna Baszler standing in her cage laughing because obviously this is, you know, dissension on Team Ripley. And so you have Dakota Kai, and I mean, when I say unloading, she's punching her in the knee, she drags her legs through on the injured knee, hits her with the cage door probably 10 times. You know, NXT general manager William Regal comes out. She ends up either punching him or shoving him. I don't remember. To me, it was a punch. Finally, they get, you know, the refs and Regal get Dakota Kai to leave. And then as Baszler's sitting there laughing even more, Tegan Nox is laying down. Dakota Kai took her knee brace off even and was beating down the knee. At that point you have Dakota Kai comes running back out to some cheers, which I think it was just happiness at this point, because, you know, it's some action in the ring. And what it did is it gave the girls in the ring a chance to rest a little bit because, you know, so far it had been a relatively brutal match. Ripley, of course, is so pissed in the ring. As the timer goes off, you know, we're talking, this took about 3-ish minutes. Baszler comes out. Baszler actually tripped over the cage, so she did like a nice little walk after, which was kind of funny. Baszler mocks and taunts Tegan Nox as Kai and Nox are taken away. So basically what comes out of this, and the announcers mention it, is the fact that once Shayna Baszler makes it to the ring, which, I mean, she took forever to get to the ring, but once she gets to the ring with Dakota Kai turning and they got her escorted out of the building, Tegan Nox obviously unable to wrestle. It is now a 4-on-2 and all members of the match are in the ring, which means that this is now a official match. The War Games has officially begun. So as Shayna Baszler comes into the ring, she immediately goes after Rhea Ripley. Ripley gets double teamed by her and Kaylee Ray. Baszler kicks her while she's being held. And this is exactly when they say that it's an official match. Baszler has handcuffs, and she actually took the handcuffs and eventually cuffs Rhea Ripley. She got her with one of them. As Ripley and Baszler brawl, Belair makes the save. Kaylee Ray saves Shirai from Candice LeRae. Ripley ends up getting a nice little drop kick on Kaylee Ray. She blocked the DDT. The Kaylee Ray DDT, like, it looked like it was going to happen, and ended up picking her up and slamming her back into the wall, almost like a suplex into the wall. Shayna Baszler ends up applying the Karafita clutch to LeRae while she hangs in the corner. At the same time, you have Ripley in the corner on Io Shirai, doing a submission on her. Candice LeRae ends up breaking free and launches Baszler across the ring with the moonsault, and then Belair hits her in the face with a trash can to make the save. It was nonstop moves in this match. It was fantastic. So then you've got Bianca Belair pressing Kaylee Ray high in the air. Did I say Kaylee Ray? I meant Candice LeRae. That's my fault. Ray, all this stuff is just very, they're very, very close to each other. Belair presses LeRae high in the air, throws her on a Ripley in the other ring. One of the big, the end of the match is coming up here, and one of the big moves in this match is about to happen. So you got Bianca Belair whipping, as she usually does with her hair, to Rhea Ripley, which I have a feeling that hurts, and it's similar to a, obviously not the same as a belt, but you know, very, very similar. Candice makes a save on for Rhea Ripley onto Bianca Belair by hitting her with a kendo stick. Shirai ends up climbing to the top of the cage, and Candice LeRae goes up to try to get her, and as she does that, Kaylee Ray stops and gets underneath Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae hit her with a huge avalanche poison rana. It was intense. Got a very close two count that Bianca Belair broke up. Fans went wild with the another NXT, and this is the first Mamma Mia chant of the night. This was huge. Now, this essentially took out Kaylee Ray, Candice LeRae, Bianca Belair, and Io Shirai all at once. So, as we look in the other side of the ring, you have Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler. Now, remember, Rhea Ripley has that handcuff on, and Baszler gets slapped and beat on with a steel chair. So Ripley put up two steel chairs and then set the trash can in the middle of it. Now Kaylee Ray ends up, now out of everyone in that ring, Kaylee Ray is the first one to get up after she took that huge move. She gets up and ends up jumping across from one ring to the other towards Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley takes the trash can, literally turns around and chucks it into her side. Great spot. Kaylee Ray took probably the two toughest spots in this match, two most devastating spots in this match. And as she's doing that, Baszler hits her with the Karafuda clutch. Ripley tries to break out once, doesn't work. Baszler gets her on the other side. And as she goes to break her out again, she pulls her left arm down. Ripley then attaches the handcuffs to her left arm, hits her with a couple kicks to the chest. Baszler tries to counter. As Baszler tries to counter, she ends up hitting her with her riptide, slams her back first onto both chairs between the one. Looks like her right side took a little more punishment. Left chair bent up and fell where the right one didn't. While she was cuffed, Rhea Ripley went for the pin. The 1-2-3 match is over. Now let me tell you something about this match. This match, I'm going to give 5 out of 5 on it because it was a good match. It was it was the first ever women's war game match. You got to give the women credit on this. It was fantastic. I this match, the men's war game match, Balor Riddle, the triple threat that's coming up next, all those matches are worth seeing. This match, though, for being what it was absolutely fantastic, and I would say you must see this match. All right, so the next match we had going on here was Pete Dunne versus Damian Priest versus Killian Dane. This was a triple threat match for the number one contender to the NXT Championship match, which is going to happen tonight at Survivor Series. So you have all three guys enter. You had first Killian Dane, then Damian Priest, and then you had Pete Dunne. All three guys have, you know, first it was Damian Priest and Pete Dunne. Towards the middle of October, had a match, great match. You had Killian Dane coming out. I think it was a week after Pete Dunne was there. Or no, it might have been actually that night. Killian Dane was leaving, pointed at Pete Dunne, got his fingers snapped, which kind of started this feud between those two. Damian Priest has just been involved, and because he's had these matches, you know, you have Killian Dane taking out Pete Dunne. So, by default, Pete Dunne, Damian Priest, and Killian Dane are involved. So, We have a triple threat match for the number one contender. I said on the 20th that I didn't personally think any of these guys were ready for the NXT Championship belt. I don't know the likelihood of any of these three guys beating Adam Cole at Survivor Series. But, you know, it is what they decided to do. It is a smart way to continue the feud, smart way to potentially end the full feud between the three together and then maybe break it up separately, maybe Killian Dane and Pete Dunne after the fact. We shall see. But let's get to this review. So you had a lot of back and forth between the two. There were a lot of kicks, a lot of punches, a lot of stiff elbows, and that's very typical of a Pete Dunne match and from what I'm seeing from a Damian Priest match. With strikes. Now, when it comes to Killian Dane, out of the three, to me, he is the least impressive of the three. I have said I was a huge Sanity fan, but, you know, obviously he's not in Sanity, so there's a lot of back and forth. Killian Dane clotheslined Priest to the floor, but he landed on his feet. Pete Dunne brings Dane down by his fingers and stomps on him, as Mauro would call it, some of that small joint manipulation. Priest went on the run, leapt to Dane on the floor, but Dunne decked him in midair. His, you know, I don't know exactly what you call it, but where he jumps on the middle rope and does that flip, sometimes landing on his feet, sometimes not. Pete Dunne knocked him, punched him right in the face. Priest went for the razor's edge on Dunne, but Dane stopped that. Dane hit a big Michinoku driver, slamming Dunne on a Priest's face. Priest kicked out at two, and as did Dunne, but, you know, that was the move that it almost looked like, you know, had it bent just a little bit higher, could have taken out Damian Priest for good with a broken nose, because Killian Dane pretty much sat on his neck and side of his face, probably like his left side of his face. So you had Killian Dane slam Priest into the steel ring steps over and over. Because it wasn't a War Games match, they can use the outside, unlike a normal War Games match. Pete Dunne charged while Dane was carrying Priest. Dane caught them both and hit a big double fall-away slam. That was a great spot in this match. On the outside, showed some really, really impressive strength from Killian Dane. Dane got Pete Dunne in the ring now. He launched him into the corner. Dunne hit hard, goes down. As Pete Dunne fights back, Killian Dane kneed him. Pete Dunne slid out of the move in a low with a lot of big chops. That's when Damian Priest comes back in. He nailed Dane in the corner after Dunne moves. Dunne ends up nailing a big kick to Priest's face. Dunne had a nice snap suplex on Killian Dane. Very impressive to me. You have Pete Dunne, obviously much smaller, still very, very strong. And Killian Dane, a massive dude. You know, probably, what, 320, 340, similar to Keith Lee. You have Damian Priest, who's 6'7" in itself. So, you know, Pete Dunne is much smaller than all of these guys. Dunne had that nice snap suplex and delivered a nice stiff kick. Dunne dropped Priest into the leaping cross armbreaker as he approached. Dane and Priest had a nice double team powerbomb on Pete Dunne, which, you know, it would be tough to find a tag team partner for either one of these guys. But Damian Priest, I think his style can work out great with anybody. Size and style is very, very impressive. The fans booed Dane and Priest as they basically staring each other down. Priest slapped Killian Dane across the face. Dane fought back and they go at it. Now, this is the point where Pete Dunne kind of gets like a little bit of a break. Dane fights back, but Priest rocks him with a few knee strikes. This is where Pete Dunne got back involved. He unloaded on both opponents. All three are throwing some big strikes in the ring. Killian Dane drops Damian Priest, and then Dunne drops Dane, then stomps on his hand. Classic Pete Dunne. Big strikes continue between all three competitors. They all collide in the ring again. Fans were chanting NXT. Another big NXT chant. You hear these in every single match. It does not stop. Then you got Killian Dane and Pete Dunne going at it again. Now, Damian Priest goes up top, takes them both down. Priest hits the broken arrow to Dunne. Priest goes on and drops Dunne for another close two count while Dane's on the outside. So with Dane on the outside, you see now Priest sends Adam Dunne, what is this, old school baseball, sends Pete Dunne to the floor. Priest hit the big razor's edge onto the Spanish announce table to Pete Dunne. Everyone goes wild on this. Killian Dane then runs the ropes, leads out, taking Priest down with a dive. Killian Dainen follows up with a big cannonball on Priest to the floor. Everyone is just massive carnage outside the ring. Killian Dainen brings Damian Priest into the ring for a really, really close two count. I actually thought it was over. That would be the least expected result. I would say Killian Dainen was least expected to win this match, followed by Damian Priest and Pete Dunne. For me, was 1A, 1B. Priest fights to his feet, but Dane slams him with a senton. Dane goes to the top for a Vader bomb, but Priest delivers a kick as he's up there. Priest goes for the razor's edge and hits it in the middle of the ring now, which was a hell of a razor's edge on somebody the size of Killian Dane. Dunne broke up the count at two. He unloads with a bunch of boots to Priest in the corner while he's standing, and then while he's down, Dunne hit a huge running forearm to Priest in the corner. Damian Priest followed up with a jumping elbow to his face. He runs and leaps out, taking Dane back out on the floor. As you see that, it's funny, they kind of show Pete Dunne's face almost like he's surprised. Pete Dunne goes to the top, hit a big moonsault to the floor, taking Dane and Priest out at the same time and while they were outside. So you have all three guys outside the ring at this point. Pete Dunne gets to his feet first and gets in, followed by Damian Priest. Priest got up, basically told Dunne to bring it Nakamura style with the double hands. Dunne unloaded with a lot of chops. Priest hit a huge clothesline. Dunne blocked the reckoning from Damian Priest. And then it was a lot of back and forth here. It was everyone was trying to hit each other with their own moves. Once Killian Dane gets back in the ring, he hits a huge kick to the face of Pete Dunne. Dane takes Priest up for the electric chair and drives him into the mat. Dane turns Dunne upside down in the corner and then throws Priest at him while he's laying there and hits a huge cannonball on both in the corner. Dane hits a Vader bomb. He gets a really close two count, but Pete Dunne breaks that up with a moonsault. Dane hits the bitter end. I'm sorry. Dunne hits the bitter end on Dane for a close two count, but Priest breaks it up. Now we're getting towards the end of the match where, you know, you see these guys like literally going at it, like fight, just kicks it. It's just nonstop on these each other. And you can tell this is like getting towards the climax of this match. Dunne rocked Priest when he gets up. Dunne went to the top, but Priest hits a nice cyclone kick. Priest went up there. He launched Dunne into Dane with a Frankensteiner, but it was, you know, from the top rope. So a super Frankensteiner. And then it was just kick after kick to each guy. It was Damian Priest kind of taking control. And you thought maybe this is where he ends up getting this win and elevating himself for the... I would love to see Damian Priest on Survivor Series tonight. Dane ends up drop kicking Priest off the apron to the floor. Killian Dane goes to the top, but Pete Dunne jumps and kicks him. Dane's just sitting on the top now. Dunne climbs up there. And Priest climbs up as well. All three are up top. Dunne snaps Damian Priest's fingers and he falls off to the apron onto the floor. Kind of a rough fall, to be honest. Like if you see that, it's a rough fall. Dunne hits a superplex on Dane. Priest comes in, but Dunne hits him with the bitter end for a two count as Dane breaks it up with a senton. Now what happens here is the final sequence. Killian Dane puts Pete Dunne in the electric chair, but Dunne brings him down with a sleeper. So as he's hitting with a sleeper, he falls on top of Damian Priest. So you have a sleeper hold on Dane, so he kind of falls forward. Dunne takes advantage, hooks Priest's leg, and gets the three count. So you got Pete Dunne with the win. He will be facing Adam Cole tonight on Survivor Series. I thought it was fantastic. Just some of the different moves in this match and, you know, all three guys involved. I gave this match a 4 out of 5. It was not obviously up to the level of the Women's War Games match, but it was still a very, very good match. So for me, it was a nice, good 4 out of 5 match. So yeah, like I said, that was a good match. And then the next match you have is going to be Finn Balor versus Matt Riddle. So when this match was announced, I think it was official 2 weeks ago. But when Balor came back, I was super excited. Back in the NXT brand, you have Gargano, who was talking. Johnny Gargano is, I think they said he's been on more NXT takeovers than anybody else. And so I was really looking forward to a Balor-Gargano match because they both put all they have into matches. They're both very similar size-wise. Obviously, Balor's a little more ripped, jacked than Gargano is, but he has an injury. Gargano has an injury, so good old Johnny Wrestling can't be in this. And Finn Balor had attacked Matt Riddle, I believe, but he called Matt Riddle out. And so this is what sets up this match. Now, Matt Riddle originally was going to be in the men's War Games against the Undisputed Era. I think originally it was Gargano, and then Balor came out, and then Riddle kind of took over. It was Riddle, Keith Lee, and then they ended up adding Dominik Dijakovic. But Riddle was out, so with the men's War Game, they were still down a person, blah, blah, blah. So you got Matt Riddle, Finn Balor. I was really looking forward to this match because, to me, they're two guys that are... Balor is a heel, but in reality, you know, you got two faces here. No matter what, Balor's character, which kind of goes back to the Prince Devitt type character that he played in Japan, to me, it is just it's overall better character for him. Smiling Finn Balor is okay, but more of a heel... dominating presence Finn Balor to me is just better, and that's what we get from him in this character. So onto this match, you had right away, you had Matt Riddle charging towards Finn Balor. He took him down as they went into the ropes. Balor standing there laughing off Matt Riddle, kind of like, get off me. They lock back up. Riddle goes for a quick submission that went into a nice little two count, real quick count. Obviously, you know, it would have been horrifying if the match ended like that, but it did not. And they do some more back and forth. They get up, Balor ducked a nice little kick. They face off again for some cheers. They ended up, you almost didn't know who the fans were going for. And even though Balor, like I said, is a heel, you know, he is the guy to go to. There were some dueling chants in this. You obviously have your Finn, bro, you know, all those type chants, but the dueling chants are one thing. NXT, I think TNA was the first to really truly have the dueling chants. This was a match where, you know, if I'm watching it, I'm just looking for a good match. I like both guys, but it was tough in this match. Balor then takes control. Riddle fights back, hits him with a big gut wrench slam, and then hits him with another one. Riddle missed the other one. Balor rolled him up for a two count. Riddle caught a kick and dropped Balor with a nice little right punch. Had some more back and forth. Balor hit a nice basement drop kick for a two count. Finn Balor has one of the best drop kicks in wrestling, because you look and it looks like he jumps so high. He almost jumps above head level on a guy like Matt Riddle. Obviously not on a guy like Dijakovic, but you know he jumps. His drop kicks are amazing. As he does that, Balor gets Matt Riddle into the corner, delivering some strikes. Balor beats him down in the corner and stomps away. He charges, hits a big drop kick in the corner. I think the hesitation drop kick, is that what it's called? I think it's the hesitation drop kick, kind of like where he like pauses and then like, you know, launches into him. Matt Riddle kicks out at two. As he does that, he keeps him grounded in the middle of the ring and works over the head and neck. Riddle got sent to the floor, and Balor launches himself out, taking him out with a nice kick to the jaw, which was almost like a one-footed kick to the face. That was pretty nice. I wasn't expecting something like that. Balor slammed Riddle's face into the apron over and over again, threw him back in the ring, got a nice little quick count. He kept the boots to him. It was a methodical approach to this match of Balor beating up Riddle, but it was nice. And then you have Riddle got... No, I'm sorry. My fault. They get up, and Matt Riddle unloads with a few strikes. So, and this is the one thing that's different about WWE, where NXT is very more indie. Like, you know, after what just happened in a typical WWE match, it would be over. But because there's so much back and forth, and what makes NXT and independent wrestling different than, you know, WWE, it was very, you know, Matt Riddle came back up. So he ended up hitting Finn Balor with a nice little roundhouse kick. He kept it going in the corner and hit a nice exploder suplex. Obviously, Riddle hit pretty much all of his signature offense in this, hit him with the Broton, hit him with a nice running forearm. He tries the running forearm again, but Balor ended up rocking him. Balor came back with a nice flying forearm. He went for the Sling Blade, but it got blocked by Matt Riddle. They tangled a little bit. Riddle catches it with an overhead kick. Riddle kept the leg locked and applied the ankle lock, but Balor, of course, was not tapping out. You're not going to get Finn Balor to tap out in his first match back. Balor finally gets to the bottom rope, Riddle kept kicking him. And some fans booed, you know, but because, you know, you have faces. Your faces can't break the rules. Now, this whole time with that ankle lock, it really worked out well for the rest of the match, because that was one of the things that was played off the rest of the match, to be quite honest, the injured ankle of Finn Balor. So Riddle goes up to the second rope, or for a second rope German suplex, but Balor hung on to the ropes. Balor looked to fight back, but Riddle kept rocking him with some kicks. As Balor tries to run the ropes, his ankle, you know, gives out as he's hurting on the ground. And as he's doing that, Balor ends up exploding with a huge dropkick out of nowhere. Another, like, one-footed dropkick. Balor hit a big German suplex now. But as that happens, Matt Riddle jumps right back up, yells at Balor, and drops him with a knee. Matt Riddle hit him with a nice bridge German suplex, which got a really nice two count. See, for this match, to me, it didn't matter who won. You could have had Finn Balor get the win. You could have had Matt Riddle get the win, and it's good. I just, you know, it's tough for me to see Finn Balor lose in a first match on a big takeover event. Obviously, a no contest or a Balor win is what sets up the future best, because I could just see in a situation like this Balor going for the championship. You know, the winner of this to me should go for the championship, because, I mean, but you got Tommaso Ciampa. It's just so tough. There's so many top-of-the-line guys right now. So, as Balor kicks out with that close two count, gets some more back and forth. Balor hits him with a double stomp and a sling blade. Balor charged again, but Riddle catches him out of nowhere with a big spear. Riddle brings Balor to the ring and hits the jackhammer, which I forgot what he called, the bro hammer or something like that. Everything's bro. Bro this, bro that. Got a nice two count there. Riddle scoops Balor for a tombstone, but it's blocked. It's like a tombstone slam. It's not actually a tombstone, but it's like a tombstone slam. Balor kept fighting off Riddle's holds. He hits a 1916 in the middle of the ring. Riddle did kick out a two. To me, it was not a very good 1916. Balor, you can tell, is getting frustrated at this point. Riddle scooped him up and hit him with the a bro to sleep, which is basically a GTS. Now, at this point, Riddle kind of takes a little bit of his time. He goes to the top rope. He goes for the floating bro, but Balor gets his knees up. Riddle lands pretty badly on his midsection. Balor follows it up with a nice drop kick. Balor did go for the coup de grace, but he landed terribly. I just don't even understand. You got an injured ankle. Why are you even trying the coup de grace? as his move is kind of moving more to the 1916 rather than the coup de grace, to me it is a way to get hurt. I'm surprised people don't hurt themselves more. Broken legs, broken ankles, you know, broken ribs, because you know, you're jumping off the top rope, landing directly on a guy. They tangled on the mat a little bit. Riddle landed a huge kick, and as they get up, Balor countered and hit a huge 1916, like an unbelievable 1916 in the middle ring, gets the pin. I'm going to give this match a 4 out of 5. As these guys came through, you know, if I had to compare this to the triple threat match, the only reason the triple threat got a 4 out of 5 is because there was another person involved. These two guys put it all together, put it all on the line, and really, truly gave it all. This would have been a great number one contenders match for the NXT belt, but it makes sense that they kind of go a different direction, take a little bit of the emphasis off some of the big-time guys, put it on somebody smaller. For that to lead up to a huge program, a huge program, potentially around Royal Rumble, where you might have a fatal four-way for it, where you may be able to see a Cole, Ciampa, Balor, you know, Riddle, or whoever's involved in that at the time. That would be huge for the next pay-per-view, but it does make a lot of sense that they have Finn Balor win. Like I said, 4 out of 5, great match. All right, so now we're on to our main event. Main event is the men's war game match. So announcing one team and who is on one team is very simple. It's the Undisputed Era. Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. All champions. Adam Cole being the NXT champion. Fish and O'Reilly being the tag champs. And then you got Roderick Strong being the North American championship. So you have all these guys who are champions on one team. kind of has that old school NWO feel to it. They show Imperium at ringside during, I think, before this match, I think it was. They were hanging out at ringside, who I originally thought was going to get a War Games match, just kind of the way it went. It did not work that way, but that is the original plan in my head, who would have been in War Games. I thought it was going to be Undisputed Era versus Imperium, but that did not work like that. So I name one team, you got Undisputed Era. The next team is led by Tommaso Ciampa. So after Undisputed Era comes out, Tommaso Ciampa, his music plays first, and instead of going to the cage, he goes directly to the ring. So you then have Keith Lee, who came out first, I should say. Tommaso Ciampa came out last. But so earlier in the night, they don't have a fourth guy. So earlier in the night, you have Keith Lee, Dijakovic, and Ciampa guaranteed. Ciampa sent a text message or a tweet or something like that to a specific person to come and to join the team. They never mention it again. The person's not there. When they come out, it's only three people. So by the time the fourth person comes out later, which we'll get to, you still don't know who that person is. And it was, you know, I looked at it and I was like, you know, this is very, and this is going to sound crazy, it's very Bash at the Beach. Like, you know, you don't know where was Hogan the whole time, where was he? And then when he came out to join the team, he joined the NWO, wearing the shirt, joins the NWO. It had that similar type of you don't know. But yeah, you know, when it happened, it was fantastic. And it's something I don't know if it is just a one-night only thing or if it's something that's going to be continual. I think the person who came out and joined can really, really elevate talent. And it brings another big-time name to NXT and to the program. But you got Ciampa going to the ring, so you got Keith Lee and Dijakovic locked in a cage, which is hilarious to me because they just had a gigantic brawl. They were completely against each other. Some great matches. You got them there. So you got Roderick Strong, who's going to start. Strong entered the cage and taunted Ciampa. Ciampa threw his crutch down, basically said, "Hey, Roderick Strong, take it away." And Roderick Strong threw it out of the cage, saying he didn't need it. Ciampa attacked. They go at it. Ciampa hit a big kick and strike, sending Roderick Strong to the corner. Ciampa hit a big clothesline and then another clothesline. And both were fired up, and like they were really fighting each other tough. Ciampa missed that big boot into the ropes, and Strong did drop him. Strong started beating him. I mean, it was classic Roderick Strong moves, classic Tommaso Ciampa moves, but they were very, very stiff with a lot of different things. And that's one thing I like about NXT. They do have some very stiff-looking moves. It is very, to me, more realistic than WWE in the sense of just how the guys do it. And I think it's because a lot of them are smaller. You know, you look at these guys and watching it, feels you feel more close to the action and close to the people who are there. These guys fight, and it goes on for like a solid 3.5-4 minutes of just back and forth, kicks. You know, Strong hit Ciampa with a really nice gut buster. And as they're standing on their feet again, trading shots, you have Kyle O'Reilly comes down first for the Undisputed Era as they had the War Games advantage. O'Reilly hit the ring and helped Strong with the double team. They take turns beating on Ciampa. Strong is the master of the backbreakers, hit Ciampa with a nice backbreaker, allowing O'Reilly to then connect with a flying knee. It took a couple minutes. Up next came Dominic Dijakovic. He destroyed Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. Just the power moves, the super kicks, the clotheslines, everything he was doing was everything that you would expect a guy 6'7" to be doing on guys who are much smaller. Strong charged at him, but Dijakovic dropped him. Dijakovic launched O'Reilly into Strong. As Dijakovic and Strong are battling, he launched Strong into the cage a few times. He continues to manhandle everyone until he's the only one left standing, and goes to bring up Ciampa back to his feet. At this point, Ciampa fights Strong while Dijakovic works on O'Reilly. At this point, you have Bobby Fish comes in. So that's Kyle O'Reilly's tag team partner. He hits the ring and goes to work. He goes to take out Dijakovic early on and then unloaded on Ciampa. The tag team champs, they end up double teaming Dijakovic and hit him with the total elimination. Strong hit another big backbreaker to Tommaso Ciampa. At this point, we have the Undisputed Era pretty much taking control of Ciampa, and because it's 3-on-2, so you know it's a handicap situation at this point. It's 3-on-2. And Undisputed Era, like I've commented on the last few weeks, they're just such a cohesive unit, and they just work so well together. Undisputed Era stands tall, wastes some time talking trash. As the counter goes down, the next man's Keith Lee. Obviously, he's the last one left for Team Ciampa. Keith Lee comes in. He goes right to work on Strong. I mean, he pretty much took everyone out, to be quite honest with you. Lee leapfrogged the tag champs and takes them both out with a double crossbody. Keith Lee took the tag champs down with another impressive launch over the top ropes. Keith Lee, for what he does, for being 340 pounds, and I think 340 pounds is being extremely generous. I think he's much bigger than that. Is amazing. It is so impressive. The chance that he was getting chanted on probably the entire match. O'Reilly saved Fish from a powerbomb by Keith Lee. Strong, O'Reilly, and Fish all team up to finally bring Keith Lee down. As they triple team him, Ciampa comes and makes a save. Ciampa gets taken down. Dijakovic tosses Riley to the other ring. He then beats up Strong on the mat. Fish hits a sleeper on Keith Lee. And at this point, the timer counts down, and you have the next man in is Adam Cole, captain of the Undisputed Era. So as Cole rushes to the ring, he stops and brings a table out as everyone loses their mind. Finally, they get their table. Remember I said in the Women's War Games part that there was finally a table that was brought in? So the table comes to the ring. As these teams stare each other down, Cole leans another table against the barrier. So he throws in another table to Roderick Strong. So as the table goes in the ring, O'Reilly stomps on Dijakovic. Now, Cole continues to be outside. What's up? Good day today. He brings in the tables from the outside. Cole steps in, but Ciampa rocks him. And Ciampa throws Cole from the apron through the table leaning against the barrier. Now, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I don't have much of a idea on... Good day. Here's the issue. My mic is on my phone because I don't have the second computer to back this up I'm just trying to do this Twitch thing while I'm doing this review. This review will be out today on Spotify, and trust me, you're going to hear it a lot louder on that. Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, all that. So if you can't hear me really good on this, I do apologize. I'm not trying to like scream because I do have a one of these Igloo mics right in front of my face. Adam Cole dead on the outside of the ring. Now, that is the first table that Adam Cole will go through in the night. As the referee closes the cage, finally we're at 4-on-3. Now, the two teams stare each other down. And at this point, so much has happened in this match. And with Cole coming in, that the countdown has already been going on. And so at this point, you know, the countdown stops there. And the clock goes off, and it just shows. There's nobody coming out. You got Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish laughing about how Ciampa has no one. And then the music hits, and holy shit, Kevin Owens, huge pop, comes out, intense. Adam Cole, they show him looking in the ring. He is shocked. And I really do think Adam Cole got hurt in this match because he did all the same moves. He did all the same stuff he always does. But I just feel like it was very... that was a tough shot to take before you get in the ring, just because of the angle. You never know what that angle is going to be. You never know what's going to happen when you end up hitting in that spot outside the ring. McCole's in the ring, still holding his neck, looking shocked. Owens comes in and loads on the Undisputed Era. Fish gets a nice pop-up powerbomb done on him. Owens continues to dominate. Mauro says Owens is getting payback for Raw. Now, my thing is you have Kevin Owens. Like, he comes in this match and he's working with Tommaso Ciampa. But you have Kevin Owens on Team Raw on Survivor Series tonight. So, you know, to me, that's an interesting, situation that may come up tonight. Cole stares Owens down as Owens has his back turned. Fans chant, welcome back. Owens hits him with a nice suck it as Adam Cole's doing the Undisputed Era thing. Kevin Owens looks like he's trying to do it, like moving his hands, and hits him with a nice suck it. With the cross chop, Cole and Owens brawl. Owens hit a stunner on him. But Roderick Strong broke up the pin. So now you got Dominik Dijakovic and Keith Lee working together. They launched Strong from one ring to the other onto Fish and O'Reilly. Owens climbed the cage and shakes the steel, getting the crowd to pop, like, you know, like he's getting crazy. Team Ciampa keeps their opponents down in control. Ciampa hit a nice DDT to O'Reilly. There was some other pretty good action, but it was so much back and forth in this match. Fans chant, "This is awesome." Next big moves here, you got Owens. He super kicks O'Reilly and backdrops Strong onto the cage. Owens drops O'Reilly again. Kevin Owens grabs Cole in the middle part between the rings. They trade suplex attempts. Owens rocks Cole. Owens is rocking, I should say, and Cole hits him with a nice super kick. Cole climbs into the second rope to hit a Panama Sunrise, but it's blocked. Cole counters the backdrop attempt and hits the Panama Sunrise on the steel anyway. That was a very intense move because I love that move anyway. Like I said last week, it's always a Canadian Destroyer to me, but it's called the Panama Sunrise. And this gets your second Mamma Mia chant going of the night, which, you know, it was well worth it. These guys were putting it to each other. Everyone's down for just a little bit, and finally Fish and Strong stand up two tables to go put Ciampa on them, but Ciampa fights him off. Ciampa hits some knees to the back of O'Reilly, and he pretty much started taking everyone out. He got his second wind. Ciampa hit a running knee to the face of Adam Cole into the steel cage. Ciampa hit about four or five knees like that for a pop, and pretty much Ciampa right now is standing tall out of everybody. And then you got, we're getting towards the end of the match here, so you got Tommaso Ciampa takes Adam Cole to the top of the cage, but Cole is fighting him off. Now, as Cole fights back, he was going to do another Panama Sunrise through a table, but Ciampa resists. Now, I am super happy that this move didn't happen, because with Tommaso Ciampa's neck the way it is, I mean, to me, that looks like death for him. Definitely career-ending. So Ciampa slams Cole's head into the steel. Cole slammed his face in the steel. It was a lot of back and forth at the top. Down on the bottom, you got O'Reilly and Fish fighting Keith Lee. You got Dijakovic come over there and put Roderick Strong through a table. Dijakovic countered O'Reilly, but he's in a submission. O'Reilly goes through a table. Owens goes to the top and puts O'Reilly through a table with a frog splash. Lee powerbombs Fish through the other table. So at this point, the Undisputed Era is pretty much laid out, except you got Adam Cole up at the top of the cage. So as they're trading shots, Ciampa scoop Cole onto his shoulders, and I drew a blank at what his finishing move is, to be 100% honest, but he positioned Cole on his back, jumps off the top of the cage, and puts Cole through a table on his back. Referee counts. Team Ciampa gets the win. That was an intense ending to that match. It was unbelievable. It is a very, very dangerous spot. It's not something that I think should be tried more than once. And for a guy, Adam Cole, to take, before he gets in the ring, take the table spot. At the end, take the table spot. And have his match tonight, that's very scary. Like, I mean, props to Adam Cole. Props to that. God, I hope he's okay. And a match tonight with that Pete Dunne is admirable on his part, absolutely admirable that he can do that. So now I usually go through what stood out tonight. Obviously, the women's War Games match, great heel turn from Dakota Kai on Tegan Nox, made it very, very one-sided. But you had Rhea Ripley, and to me, Kaylee Ray shined in this match. Candice LeRae had some huge moves with the Avalanche, Poison Rana, but Rhea Ripley is really showing. Like, I would love to see Rhea Ripley, become champion over Shayna Baszler if and when they move Shayna Baszler to the main roster. But I would just love to. That'd be a great move for me. And Rhea Ripley is dominant. I think she's a great champion. And of course, the men's War Games match. It was nonstop. I mean, this match in general, like I said, that match got a 5. I had 2 5s, like 5 out of 5 matches. I had 2 4 out of 5 matches. The singles match and the triple threat match were both 4 out of 5. War Games matches, both 5 out of 5. I love War Games. I'm so happy that they made this a part of their pay-per-view like chronological order that they do with TakeOver. War Games is just one of those things that some show needed. I'm going to be honest with you, I think NXT did it best. It'd be much better than whatever WWE would produce because they already have Survivor Series. So let's go real quick over these Survivor Series matches tonight. You got Brock Lesnar versus Rey Mysterio for the WWE Championship. You got Becky Lynch versus Bayley versus Shayna Baszler. You've got the Viking Raiders versus the New Day versus the Undisputed Era. Anyone in Undisputed Era, I don't know how they're wrestling tonight, to be honest. The Women's Survivor Series elimination match. You got Team Raw, who is Charlotte, Natalya, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Sarah Logan, versus SmackDown, who is Sasha Banks, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Nikki Cross, versus Team NXT, which they did announce after on a Facebook Live special. It is going to be Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, Bianca Belair, Io Shirai, and Toni Storm. To me, it's weird because you're just fighting with Bianca Belair and Io Shirai. I do see some dissension there. Love to see Team NXT win that, but I just feel like with the dissension possibly in the mix there, it's not going to happen. The men's match, you got Team Raw, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Ricochet, and Kevin Owens. Again, where's Kevin Owens going to be on this? Team SmackDown, Roman Reigns, Mustafa Ali, Braun Strowman, King Corbin, and Shorty G versus Team NXT, which Team NXT will not be announced until the pre-show tonight on Survivor Series, so that's something to watch. Then you got AJ Styles versus Nakamura versus Roderick Strong. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan for the Universal Championship. And then you have Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne for the NXT Championship. Again, I don't see how any of the Undisputed Era is fighting tonight. Ripley in the women's war games, they took a lot less punishment than in the men's war games. And then you have Shayna Baszler in the match. I'm going to roll through my predictions really quick, just of who I think is going to win. I cannot see Rey Mysterio beating Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is going to get that win. Becky Lynch, I think, wins. You got to keep the man strong. Shayna Baszler, there's no real reason for her to win. And Bayley, I'm just not sold on Bayley as champion. I like the heel turn, but I'm not sold as her as champion. You got to get Becky Lynch to win. And the tag match, I could see Undisputed Era coming out with the win. The Viking Raiders would be a close second. New Day, I don't think they need a win to validate them, so I don't think that that's necessary. I think Team Raw is going to win the women's elimination. Like I said, I think NXT is going to implode. The Team SmackDown women's match, I mean, other than Sasha Banks, no one stands out to me at all. Team Raw with the women's match, Charlotte Flair alone, I think, puts that team over. On Team SmackDown, I think, or on the men's side, I think Team SmackDown is going to win. Again, I would love to see NXT. You would assume you would see Riddle, Ciampa, Keith Lee, Dijakovic, and who would be that fifth? So that's going to be interesting to see, but I think those are going to be four of your five. I think Team SmackDown's going to get the win. And the only reason I say that is because of Roman Reigns, King Corbin, what they're doing with their programs right now. I just think that that's going to give them the win. In the second tier belts with the North American Championship with Roderick Strong, Intercontinental with Nakamura, and the U.S. Championship with AJ Styles, I see AJ Styles getting the win, probably with help from the OC, but I just don't see Styles losing this match. When it comes to The Fiend versus Daniel Bryan, I think this was thrown together really quickly. I think The Fiend is going to get the win on that one. And then Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne, I just don't see this match ending cleanly. Adam Cole will get the win, but I feel like with that triple threat match, I think there's going to be a little bit of interference there, potentially on the Pete Dunne side. And Undisputed Era, if they can all still walk in these matches, I think that they could come in. I think it could be a massive brawl, Adam Cole picking up the win. So that's going to be all for me on this NXT review. At this point, you guys know where to catch me on Twitter, at the CO Place to Go. I would love to get some questions, some comments. I would love to be able to talk to them. I do want to say happy Thanksgiving. I will be doing a show next week, but I don't know when. I don't know when I'll get that NXT review up because I am working Thanksgiving and then spending Thanksgiving here at home after. So I'm not sure if I'll be even doing it Wednesday night or Thursday. I may not do it until Friday, being 100% honest, but I will be doing that show. So, I mean, in reality, happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and I hope I talk to you guys soon.